Marcus Lewa. The search for common ground begins today.
Founder of the Guardian Angels.
I got distracted. I thought Curtis Sliwa
from
the Guardian Angels was over there.
Curtis Sliwa.
There's a guy in a red hat.
Host of The Drive at 5, Curtis Sliwa.
We the people.
He's the New York State Reform Party chairman.
New York radio talk show host.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa is here.
He's really a New York City hero.
Yeah.
He's an American hero.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
As we're high atop Madison Square Garden, the great facilities provided to us for this nice, warm, and toasty studio. You know, the hawk is talking. The hawk is talking out there. But NJDiet.com has come to the rescue because it's made sure that this studio is heated to the max. And with that theme song, it means that the big Mac Daddy of all is here, Dominic Carter.
Are you going to be okay for this broadcast?
The hawk is talking.
Are you going to be okay, man? I'm serious.
I got to tell you, I was teetering as I walked into our office there for our pre-meeting. Definitely teetering. I'm like the Leaning Tower of Pizza. 23 days to go to my surgery, and I'm looking forward to it desperately to relieve myself of this intense pain, this intense inflammation that I've had to live with for 2.5 years now. 2.5 years with the colitis ileitis that's now become full-blown Crohn's disease.
But why can't you do the surgery sooner? Is it the surgeon's schedule, the doctor's schedule?
It's a number of surgeons. It's making sure that I get a series of other tests because I have to make sure the damage that was done by the hollow point bullets that were shot at my lower extremities back in 1992 by the Gottis and the Gambinos has not done other damage because, look, the best case scenario is when I go under the knife, I'll be there for a week, Columbia Presbyterian. The worst case scenario is a month or more, and either or, I'll have a colostomy bag, which I lived with for 2 years after being shot in 1992, and a morphine pump for the pain. But I got to tell you, Dominic, it will be so much preferred to what I've been going through for 2.5 years.
I was really worried about you about a month ago, and I'm worried about you today. But and this is not an obit, so don't take it that way. But I asked Ed Koch this same question.
Yeah, but that would be cool. Air. What would my obit be?
But wait, here's the question.
Oh, okay.
The question. It's not an obit because you'll never die.
Yes.
You'll be around forever.
Thank you.
But here's the question. And we obviously have not rehearsed any of this. Same question I put to Ed Koch when I said, who is Ed Koch? Who is Curtis Sliwa?
Curtis Sliwa is a legend in his own mind.
Okay, but we already know that.
Yeah.
Who is Curtis Sliwa?
Who is Curtis Sliwa? That's an enigma. It's like an artichoke, you know? You go through the layers of the artichoke. Just when you think you know Curtis Sliwa, right? How long have you been with me?
I've known you for about 30 years.
Right. Haven't I proven to be an enigma? Just when you think you got me bagged and tagged, you figured, oh, I got this caricature down. I figured it out.
But what you're doing right now is what the politicians do. I didn't ask you that. I said, who was Curtis Sliwa?
I'm not running for office, pal. I don't have to freaking answer that question. I'm the chairman of the New York State Reform Party.
Okay, so the Curtis Sliwa I know is a guy with a tremendous heart that tries to hide it. He doesn't want the public to know. A guy that really thinks he's black.
Oh, I am black. I'm blacker than you, Tom.
See, here we go.
Come on.
Here we go.
Come on. You know that.
Here we go.
I'm more street. I'm more hood than you. I'm a hood rat.
Well, so wait. Street defines one's blackness? I don't think it goes that way.
No. I mean, you could be street and be white, Hispanic, any color in between.
Do you know how many, kids pull up when I'm driving and I'm at a light and they pull up and they're diddy-bopping their head and the music and sure. I look and it's a straight white teenager. Any kids?
Oh, yeah. Now, are they pimping at the wheel? Were they driving just with one finger?
Yes.
So
yes.
They're halfway there.
Yeah. So how far are you?
I'm 70, all the way there. Because 80. Remember.
So you still like black women? You still got a thing for the... Oh, wait. You're in a relationship.
That's right.
Maybe you shouldn't answer that.
I'm colorblind now. You're colorblind. There's no colors involved. I've got a committed relationship to Nancy Regula.
I've never heard you say anything about Latino women. You got a thing against Latino women?
Oh, my God. The Puerto Ricans and the Dominicans I've been with in my
life.
You
can't handle that.
And then all of a sudden, if you do them wrong, don't go to sleep, man. You end up with a shiv right in your back. Please, no Hispanic women. Just too temperamental. Just say, and they're always into revenge and vendetta. It's like Italian women, the same thing. You know,
Italian women are like that?
God, are they into revenge and vendetta? Yeah. They'll slash your tires. They'll urinate in the back of your car. Oh, yeah, if you've done them all. Absolutely. Oh, it's part of their DNA. It's part of their genetics. I'm telling you.
Italian women.
Part of being hot-blooded. Well, look, it's the same thing. Whether Puerto Rican, Dominican, Italian, you know, they seek vengeance.
But you always say the black women have the attitudes.
Oh, yeah, but it's more attitude there because they'll stop everything cold. SWA, sister with attitude. She'll say, brother, don't play me like that. I ain't a stupid white woman. You know that. That's exactly what they'll say.
I have no comment.
Oh, come on.
Identical, word for word. That is exactly what they will say.
Exactly. Don't play me like I'm a sucker white woman.
How did we get on this topic? Don't we have serious issues
because
to get to today?
Because you were cross-examining me.
Oh,
and by
that's
the way,
right. Who is Curtis Sliwa?
By the way, as we were plotting through the weekend, both you, I, and everybody else.
Yes.
And we were somehow trying to come to grips with a jury mistrial the Bobby Menendez case.
Here
the
capo
de tutti of all crooked U.S. senators up on Capitol Hill from the most crooked of Democratic counties, Hudson in New Jersey. He had a press conference in which he cited you, as I've heard you cited before, by Al Slim Shady Sharpton of the National Hate Action Network and comrade Bill de Blasio, you know, because you always have a ringside seat. Listen to Senator Bobby Menendez afterwards. He had just finished crying, you know, those crocodile tears, when he gives a shout-out to Dominic Carter.
To those in the press who did their job and did it with professionalism, and even to some of you who are actually kind. Where's Dominic? I don't see him. Dominic? I believe you showed others what a professional press is all about.
He wanted to hold up the press conference because you weren't there yet.
And your point being?
Because you have a ringside seat and you play to these guys. And then all of a sudden they embrace you because you give them such favorable coverage.
Is that what I do?
Bobby Menendez on RNN. You can see, in fact, Dominic, every night, Monday through Fridays, if you have Fios 1 from 6 to 7. Your coverage, you might as well have been doing propaganda for Bobby Menendez. Yes.
Well, I'm sure if you ask Mr. Menendez or his family members, they will tell you that my coverage was very, very tough on him.
Why was he asking you, asking for you in that gathering, a phalanx of photographers, paparazzi, and reporters, and yet he didn't want to go further until he saw you in the queue. Why? You out of everybody. There's
you know
Paul Wolfshein, the New York Star Ledger, Mike Kelly of the record. They've been there every day. He didn't mention them. He mentioned you.
No offense.
CNN, Fox News Channel,
it's a good
MSNBC.
Thing. It's a good thing that you're under the weather today, because imagine what this would be like if you would be bouncing off these walls now.
I hate Bobby Menendez, and I hate his benefactor, his Medici, the infamous Dr. Melgin, who ripped off Medicare for millions of dollars with Menendez's help. Let's open up our phone lines on that. Did you hear that shout out that the crooked one Bobby Menendez gave to our own Dominic Carter? 1-800-848-WABC. And how did you interpret that? Why, in the middle of a press conference,
are we serious right now?
Yeah, after he shed these crocodile tears, would he suddenly be saying, no, let's not go any further until we find Dominic Carter? 1-800-848-9222. Now, because you were giving gavel to gavel coverage,
I was there every day from 6 a.m. until 4 p.m. When I was not here at WABC. And the reason why he did that, Curtis, a couple of things. One, I had no dog in the race. I had, like Judge Wall said, whether the senator was convicted and sent to prison or set free means absolutely nothing to me. I covered it straight up. When he had bad days with salacious details, I reported every single one of them. But my premise in journalism is that I treat people the way I would like to be treated. I'm fair. And that's what I think Senator Menendez was acknowledging.
And ultimately, why do you think there was a mistrial? Because most people were beginning to think this jury was a bunch of morons with one of the notes that were passed out requesting of the judge that they explain what a U.S. senator is.
But see, it's not that simple. The public makes the mistake of broad brushing the jury. No, you have defense lawyers that made almost $5 million on this case. They were very good at redefining the role of a senator. What the juror was asking was about Abby Lowe's closing statement, which you can't replay to a jury. It's only evidence. And they brought in Tom Harkin, the senator from Iowa. As you know, you've talked about this on the radio.
Yeah, another crooked one.
And the jury was trying to find out, is a U.S. senator just local? Or, as Menendez and others argued, are they national and international in scope? And you can't look at it the simplistic way of, duh, what's a United States senator? That's not what they were trying to do.
Anyway, our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Jay, who's calling from New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here at WABC. Jay?
Afternoon, fellas. He was thanking Dominic for getting him a mistrial, because the odds is, you know, that interview he did is what helped pretty much taint the jury pool. So he definitely owes you one, Dominic, for that one.
Well, Jay, I appreciate your call. Let me just say this. One, obviously, I didn't try to get Senator Menendez or anybody else a mistrial. But what Jay does have a point to this degree. When we spoke to one of the jurors when she left to go on vacation, Evelyn Arroyo Maltzby, she admitted to me, or several of them acknowledged that they had seen my report. Jurors, Curtis, actual jurors, that they had seen my, and they're not supposed to see this. They had seen my coverage nightly on television.
Well, we know jurors read the papers, listen to the radio, and watch TV.
Right, but you would think that they would try and hide it, I mean, you know, a little bit. And so I want you to think about this. The vote was 10-2 to acquit. And there are some details we didn't report about one of the jurors because they're very salacious in terms of his Facebook postings that we kept to ourselves. So if that juror had been gone, it would have been only one to convict. Think about that for a second.
Jay, you know that on this one, Dominic Carter has shade on his face, right?
Yeah, he does. He does. And Menendez is a slimy guy. So thanks for that.
It was that interview. It almost caused a mistrial right there on the spot.
That's true. I'll admit that.
This woman was claiming, oh, no, slam dunk. He's going to have a mistrial. You know, it's favored that we just let him go. And I'm saying, what trial was she listening to? The guy's trying to bring in floozies for his Medici. On these fake visas.
I'm not defending Menendez. U.S. senators do it all the time. Write letters of reference.
Yeah, they also perv on people, as we've found out of late. Although it doesn't seem like Gillibrand wants to tell us who did it. Or the U.S. Congresswoman who claims one Democrat, one Republican in the House are pervs. Think how unfair that is to all the guys who are sitting there.
I'll do you one better. If the real stories, I'm not at liberty to discuss them.
Oh, please do.
If the real stories start coming out about what happens in the U.S. Senate, there's going to be a tremendous problem.
Let's get it on.
No, we can't get it on. Because
remember,
I just said I'm not at liberty to talk about these things.
There was the famous case of Ted Kennedy, the swimmer, and his buddy from Connecticut, Chris Dodd, who eventually got censured for a different reason in the Senate. When they sandwiched a waitress,
so you want me to
at one of the restaurants there in Washington while they were both loaded, trying to do her twice.
So you want me to do a Curtis Sliwa and mess with the mob and the U.S.
I want
Senate.
You to drop dimes here.
And I'm a brother. I'm a brother.
Our colleague,
you know what would happen to me?
I understand that.
You wouldn't find me ever again.
Your complexion is your protection.
No, not in this case. It wouldn't.
Trust me. I got you back. Our number's 1-800-848-WABC.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
Every one of you out there tried to kill me for the last 25 years, and I'm still here. Ha, ha, ha. Now what?
Ha, ha, ha. Now what? Well, guess what? Your room temperature, you devil. You've gone straight to hell where you belong. Charlie Manson, kaput. Finished. No more tributes to him. Brian Wilson, who paid homage to him from the Beach Boys. Axl Rose, you know, from Guns N' Roses. Couldn't get enough of Charlie Manson. And Charlie Manson probably was your hero because he tried to start a race war, Dominic Carter.
My hero?
Yeah, because he wanted blacks to win race war.
Well, but he also wanted to blame the Black Panthers.
Yes.
And you know, I don't talk this way, but it's a good thing that this man is no longer with us. And to be honest with you here, he is exactly what's wrong with American culture. This madman who psychologically took control of his members to do these horrible things. We glorified this man with national TV interviews, and then we don't understand why in 2017 we're dealing with the situations that we're dealing with. What message do you think you sent to these nuts when you glorified this fool?
Let me ask you a question. Every year, remember, your colleague, Geraldo Rivera, would make the pilgrimage up to Vacaville.
Don't mess with Geraldo.
Penitentiary in Northern California for the criminally insane.
Don't mess with Geraldo.
To interview the wackadoodle, Charlie Manson, with the Nazi swastika on his forehead. If given the opportunity, would you have done that every year?
See,
you're vacillating. See? See, you're walking a tightrope here. If Charlie had said, I want my very dear Kumbare Cheech, Dominic Carter, to come up here and interview me because I have some other sort of wittyisms that I want to share with the general public.
You know what I would have said?
You'd have been queuing up there.
You know what I would have said?
What?
Hell no. Ooh. I would not have done it.
Ooh.
I think.
Ooh, anyway,
I believe.
Let's go to the audio tape as Charlie Manson is gone. Straight to hell without an asbestos suit.
I never told anybody to do anything other than what they wanted to do.
And if they wanted to do murder, that was okay with you?
That was none of my business, woman. I'm a convict. I'm an outlaw. I'm a rebel. I'm not a Sunday school teacher.
Yeah, that's for sure. Can you imagine Charlie Manson is your Sunday Bible school teacher?
But see, this is what's wrong with my industry. We're not talking about a Sunday school teacher. This man was nuts, okay? And we're glorifying him. Now, I can't be a hypocrite about this. There are enormous pressures on us in television to deliver ratings. Bottom line. Period. So sometimes we do things that make us want to vomit. People that we have to interview solely for the ratings. But why would somebody put this man on television?
Well, because they know that the general public has a vicarious interest in him as a screwball, a crackpot. Like, what is his motivation? Why is the furniture upstairs? Why is it rearranged in the wrong rooms? When you listen to him talk, you wonder, how is he able to get a following, a family? He called it the Manson family that was willing to kill on his orders. And then listen to the madman speak again.
If you're going to do something, leave something with you. Just like I would tell you, if you're going to do something, do it well. And leave something with you. Leave a sign to let the world know that you were there.
Are you listening to what this fool is saying?
Yes.
This man didn't earn a PhD. I mean, are we thinking about what this man is really saying? The only thing California did wrong was knocking out the death penalty. This man should have been put to death years ago.
He was nourishing his resume like a lot of people do.
Right,
they claim,
right,
you
right.
know, got PhD, right, a master's, right, magna right, cum laude, right, right.
So you figure about $100,000 a year to feed him?
More than that.
Okay.
And
medical issues?
Yeah.
And I'm sure special protection for him, at least $100,000 a year. For what? For what?
For Charlie Manson, so that all these documentaries that you watch on the History Channel, that talk about the life and times of how Charlie Manson, Charlie Manson, when he was on trial with his followers for the murder of Sharon Tate, her friends, and then the following day, it was the big supermarket magnet. And his wife. When they went on trial, do you know what happened each and every day that was so unique to the trial process? The followers of Charlie Manson who didn't get arrested for these crimes, they would launder all of Manson's apparel, not just Charlie, but the women who were also on trial. and they would dip the tips of the collars of the clothing in LSD. And while the trial was proceeding, as these folks were at the defense table, Charlie Manson and his tribe, they'd be sucking on the tips of the apparel of their clothing and tripping out there. And people were wondering, yeah, man, these people were tripping out. How are they tripping out? Because the laundering was being done by his family that would bring it in each and every day, give it to the sheriff's department, who would then give it to Charlie Manson and give it to his followers before they would enter the courtroom. And so all during the trial, with all the testimony going on, and people wondered, how come they have such goofy faces? Because they were dropping litmus paper constantly on their tongues. Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, all other forms of acid.
And so no one ever figured out that when he knew a national camera was coming to interview him, that that was on cue to act as crazy as possible, to continue to get the donations for his commissary account, for him to continue to be a superstar. How tall was this guy? What, 5'2", 5'1"?
About 5'2", 5'3". You know, he had a Napoleonic complex.
I'm glad you said it.
By the way, like a lot of guys who were doing heavy time, he had his groupies that weren't part of his family. You know, that family of women that had been sort of hypnotized by him.
From women.
From all over the country, all over the world, who would write to him in Vacaville, the penitentiary in California for the criminally insane, who wanted him to marry them. I mean, you say to yourself, it's Charlie Manson, right? Oh, but it was like being married to Satan. You know how nuns, they marry Jesus Christ, right? And they remain pious. They actually have a ceremony in which they put a ring on their finger, and they're married to Jesus Christ, and they pledge to being pious. Some women, they want to marry the devil, Lucifer himself. And who's the person that's come closest to that as a cult figure in our lifetime? Charlie Manson.
Now, one more time. He wanted to start a race war. He wanted to blame the murders on the Black Panthers,
yes,
feeling that that would start a race war.
Yeah, he wanted to blame that on Huey Newton and all those leaders at the time. Yep.
Hmm. And he said that all of this went down because his mother had him when he was 16 years old, and he spent most of his time growing up in reform school. And
she was
prisons.
A prostitute, and actually he had all kinds of issues with that. But it wouldn't be the first time in history.
That's my point. You think Charlie Manson is the only person that had a messed up upbringing?
No, and it wouldn't be the only time that white people hadn't set up Black people before and claimed that they were responsible for insurrection.
I'm glad you said it.
Well, because
I don't have to say it because you said it.
Because I'm blacker than you, Dominic Carter. My name
still
Curtis.
Said it.
That's right.
That's right.
I proved it again.
You have a black name.
But anyway, right now, let's get our news headlines and updates from Ken Duffy.
Live, local, on it. Curtis Lewa.
Curtis Lewa.
77 WABC.
Hey, 1240. Dominic Carter in the house. And this is music from the island of Cuba behind the sugarcane curtain of Raul and Fidel Castro. And the mayor, your mayor, Comrade Bill de Blasio, who loves you so much, Dominic Carter, has returned from Cuba after a week away of vacation with his wife.
You said the mayor returned from Cuba?
Yeah.
Wasn't the mayor on vacation in Connecticut?
Do you have any documentary evidence of that? Any video, photos, postings on Facebook or Instagram? Make yourself useful, Justin B. Love, if you could check that. Because I'll tell you what happened over the weekend at the Yale Bowl, which I think seats about 100,000. Everybody sits, on these old wooden platforms, and they freeze their tuchus off in New Haven. There must have been 100,000 people because Yale finally won the Ivy Football League championship, first since 1980. In the audience, there was Bill and Hillary, you know, former Yalies. There was Long Dong Silver. You remember Clarence Thomas, who went to Yale. And you would have thought, because...
Maybe I should just let that go. Did you just say what I think you just said?
Yeah, well, that was his nickname at Yale. Clarence Thomas, the U.S. Supreme Court Justice. Yeah, it was Long Dong Silver. Don't you remember that? Don't you remember Anita Hill?
I remember Anita Hill, but I almost feel like don't follow up on this because he's going to go there.
Well, it's done. It's a slam dunk.
Wait, long what?
Dung Silver.
Implying that?
He's got a long schlong.
Says who?
Well, says he, because that's the nickname he curried.
Clarence, Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas?
Oh, yeah. Don't you remember?
Are you serious?
Don't you remember the little pubic hair on the coke
can? I do.
Okay, all right. So.
But that does not imply male.
He's black, isn't he?
Oh, God. Here we go.
All right.
Here we go.
Look, the point is, they're all in the crowd.
All right. Okay, let's stick to that point.
And if in fact, the mayor were in Connecticut, right, he would have been visiting his son, Dante, who goes to Yale, and he would have been at the Yale Bowl cheering on Yale as they won their Ivy League championship for the first time in 1980. He's void. There are no pictures of him anywhere on the Yale campus or at the Yale Bowl celebrating Yale's victory. There's no documentary evidence. I have it on good authority that the mayor and his wife returned to the island of Cuba where they had gone for their honeymoon. Remember, they had spent time with Daniel Ortega, the Sandinistas in Nicaragua, as they were in opposition to Ronald Reagan supporting the Contras who were trying to keep communism out of Central America. And they loved going to Cuba on a regular basis to visit with their father, you know, Fidel Castro. And I believe the cop killer, Asada Shakur, a.k.a. Joanne Chesimard, who killed a New Jersey trooper years ago and then was sprung from jail and fled to Cuba. So you're the reporter. All of you reporters, you just repeat whatever City Hall tells you about where they were. Why don't you ask for the evidence?
Why are you looking at me like that?
I'm asking for the evidence. Ladies and gentlemen, what do you think is more plausible? That Comrade Bill de Blasio was spending a week of vacation in Connecticut or in his favorite island of all the islands in the world, Cuba, where he had spent his honeymoon? Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. And he returns under a firestorm of criticism. Now, NYCHA, of which you were a tenant for a while.
New York City Public Housing, yes.
Which actual housing authority project did you live in?
I lived in the Patterson Houses, 271 East 143rd Street.
Oh, man, that's hardcore.
It's hardcore, right across the street from Lincoln Hospital.
You weren't too far from Alexander Avenue and the precinct.
That's right.
That would always,
the precinct is about, what, 4 or 5 blocks away.
Right, they would never come when you called 911 in the Patterson Projects.
Well, I guess Public Enemy was correct with their song about 911 as a joke.
Oh, now there, back then it was, that's for sure.
And I also lived in the Throgs Neck Houses, which wasn't bad.
That's a much better development.
Much better development. Yeah. The bus service was not the greatest, being at the northern tip. Was that the northern tip of the Bronx and Throgs Neck?
Right.
You know, so that's where I lived then.
And you could see the cemetery from there, right? And the
yes,
bridges.
Cemetery was only about 4 blocks away.
Right, so you had a great view.
St. Raymond's Cemetery.
Right, and you had a great panoramic view because you could see the Throgs Neck Bridge, the Whitestone Bridge.
And then Trump started building his golf course.
Right,
there.
Right. So much preferred than the Patterson Projects in the South Bronx. But the mayor lied about doing what the federal government requires you to do in public housing, because they pay 90% of the bills, the feds.
They do.
That you do a lead paint check in all of the dwellings to particularly protect children, because children 6 and younger are very susceptible to developing all kinds of brain injuries and learning development issues as a result of ingesting any lead paint.
But wait a minute. You cannot be correct about this, because isn't this mayor Mr. Progressive, who loves people of color and does everything he can to help people of color? Isn't that this Bill de Blasio?
That's what he claims.
Oh, that's what he claims.
But the paperwork was filled out. And they just signed off on it, as was the case of the guy who was imported to be the head of the New York City Housing Authority by billionaire Bloomberg, John Rea, I think his name was, from Wall Street. He also lied. He signed off on this stuff. And can you imagine, there were close to 50,000 units that were supposed to be inspected every year that were not. And the mayor comes back today and has to explain himself about that.
Two quick points. First of all, would you, Curtis, be honest with me?
Yes.
The folks that run the housing authority.
Yeah.
Would you hire them to walk your dog?
No.
I wouldn't hire them. My beloved Dolce, they would never get possession of my dog.
No.
Because that's how incompetent they are. All of them. And remember what Rudy said? It's really sad because the housing authority, and I say this based on 30 years reporting experience,
yes,
it's nothing but a political patronage mill,
yes,
for the incompetent people that don't know what they're doing at all.
Although,
and so you put them in charge of public housing.
Having dealt with NYCHA during Rudy's years and Bloomberg's years and now de Blasio's years, it was much better run under Rudy.
Listen, say whatever you want about Rudy's personality. Rudy, your guy, he was right on certain areas. One of the best things Rudy Giuliani ever said, and folks were up in arms, how could you say that? When he said, take the old Board of Education,
yes,
and drop a bomb on him.
Oh, I believe, yeah. 110 Livingston,
that's
Street,
right,
downtown.
So guess what? Rudy was right. Now I'm going to take the same situation and make it parallel to the housing authority. To the administrators, not the good people that live in public housing, to the incompetent administrators that I would not hire to walk my dog because that's how incompetent and how bad they are. Take a bomb and drop it on all of them. Be gone. You're ruining people's lives, not just the current lives. As you mentioned, the lead paint.
Yeah, lead chips. Yeah.
This is going to have an impact for generations to come.
Absolutely. It's inexcusable. Because the feds require it. They give you 90% of the money to run the projects so that people have a place to live. And then you don't follow through. You cover over it. You hide it. And the mayor lied about it to protect his NYCHA chairwoman. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Anita, who I believe is calling from Park Slope, which is, let's face it, the home away from home for the de Blasio family. Thanks for joining us here on WABC, Anita.
Yes, Curtis. I saw him the other day, and he was walking with his bodyguards, and he had a red tan face. And I said, how could he have gone to Connecticut, you know, unless it was some kind of spa where they have sun lamps? But nah.
No, he doesn't strike me as a guy who's going to go to the tanning salon. No. And so Anita spots that in Park Slope, which is obviously where the mayor loves to hang out most of his time. And not anybody in Room 9 at City Hall, nor you, are going to make inquiries as to where were you, Mr. Mayor, because we believe you may have been in Cuba and not in Connecticut. Why do you have a red face? How could you have gotten red in Connecticut? The temperatures were close to freezing. But you won't ask that question, will you?
Well,
because you don't want to give up your ringside seat and your preferred VIP treatment.
The mayor is not happy these days with my criticism of him. He's very thin-skinned. And history, remember I told you this, history is going to judge Bill de Blasio as simply a placeholder for the job of mayor,
as you know, for
the last 8 years.
Right.
He's not going to go down with any distinction for anything great. He thinks that he's the greatest thing ever, but history is not going to judge him that way. I just want to say this, Curtis. Remember this prediction. Yes, he cruised to re-election and so on. History is never kind to the final term of a sitting mayor.
1-800-848-WABC.
He knows the city. Local on it. Curtis Lewa, 77 WABC.
Or imagine for a moment you are a family living in public housing and you're doing everything you can to get by. But the problem is the building you're in is a haven for rats. Why? And this is shocking. I did not know this until we went through this process over the last weeks. Because there are buildings in public housing that have not concrete floors. They have dirt floors to this day.
Dirt floors to this day. He just discovered that.
That's what's amazing. He's been the mayor for 4 years.
Public advocate for 8, preparing to run for mayor, councilman,
and
Park Slope.
Let's be honest about this. You have an African-American wife, and you didn't know the conditions that exist in public housing?
Well, as pretentious as he is, right, claiming to know everything, he didn't know that, Biggie. Anyway, let's go to Jeff in Lakewood, Florida. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here on WABC. Jeff?
Yeah, they're infested. I worked for a sewage company, and I see where you want to go. Foster Avenue, you want to go to the Bronx, you want to go to the Jefferson Houses. I've been to every one of them. And they're not dirt floors. What he's talking about is where the pipes are. If we had to go access pipes, in other words, because there's a stoppage, first of all, sometimes the building guy he'll just crack the cap. So then everything fills up. So there's like 2-3 feet of water in some of them. Now that's in the cement part. Now if you got to go trace the schematics, you got to go into crawl space. You open up these doors and you see, it looks like a cartoon, something out of size. It's just crazy. The mice are jumping. You see them. The roaches, forget it. They're the size of mice.
Yeah, in fact, they're doing the Harlem Shuffle and the Crypt Dance. And the rats are so big, you can put saddles on them and ride them right out into the terrace area. You know that, Dominic. You were at the Patterson Projects in the South Bronx. Man, there were all kinds of rats.
Curtis Lewa.
The search for common ground begins today.
Founder of the Guardian Angels.
I got distracted. I thought Curtis Sliwa of the Guardian Angels was over there.
Curtis Sliwa.
There's a guy in a red hat.
Host of The Drive at 5, Curtis Sliwa.
We the people.
He's the New York State Reform Party chairman.
New York radio talk show host.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa is here.
He's really a New York City hero.
Yeah.
He's an American hero.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
She's crafty, she gets around, she's crafty.
She's always down,
she's crafty.
She's got it great,
she's crafty, and she's just my type.
7 minutes after the hour one, this is the theme song for Hillary Rodham Clinton. The Beastie Boys, She's Crafty, as we're high atop Madison Square Garden, the great facilities provided to us in order to do this broadcast to all of you by NJDiet.com. But the Hawk, he's starting to talk out there. The Hawk is really starting to whip up. You saw those 50-mile-per-hour winds yesterday? Yeah, winter, you know, finally, after global warming and climate change was like endless right into November.
Heating bill.
That's right. It's coming. It's coming. But anyway, just an update. You know, I'm 23 days away from going under the knife for Crohn's disease at Columbia Presbyterian. Got medication over the weekend I had to get in preparation for the operation.
Wow.
$1,900.
Ugh. But wait, listen, I'm monitoring Twitter.
Yes.
And they're commenting about you.
Oh, they are.
And someone just wrote, Curtis, get yourself to the hospital. Not worth it to, by Gadia. Not worth it to be in pain.
Oh, no. Look, I've been in pain for 2.5 years. I can deal with 23 days. Hey, look, I'm dealing with you, Dominic Carter. You're a real pain in my neck. Everybody I have to deal with here. Justin B. Love, the invader from Alabama, supporter of Judge Roy Moore, that perv.
Okay, but explain
and
this
Brian
to me.
And Brian Mongalucci here, the hipster millennial.
Explain this to me. The red. I know it's the color of the Guardian Angels, but you have on a red sweater today.
Yes, yes.
What's with the red?
Red is a power sign because I'm not weak. Yeah, it's a power sign.
Ah.
I'm not weak. And it doesn't mean better dead than red, you know, that I'd rather be a commie. So don't go there, Dominic Carter.
Okay.
But anyway, kudos, high fives to our colleague, Rita Cosby.
Excellent job by Rita.
Because she scored an exclusive interview with Hillary Rodham Clinton. An interview I think she regrets giving now because it comes out that she's saying her pervs are better than the Republican pervs. You
now,
know, this is what it's come down to.
Hold on that. You're going to have to explain that. You just can't toss that out there.
Well, Al Franken, the latest of the Democratic pervs, and actually her husband, the perpetual perv, that as pervs, they're better pervs than Republican pervs like Judge Roy Moore. We're going to be discussing that.
You believe we're even having a conversation like this?
I can't believe that you would have Hillary on one side, Trump on the other side, basically claiming their pervs are better pervs. But anyway, let's go to the audio tape. Here's Hillary Clinton with Rita Cosby. Rita asks Hillary if Franken should resign.
Some pretty serious allegations, Secretary Clinton, have come out about Al Franken. Should he resign because he is a sitting senator?
Look, Al Franken, is a friend of mine, and Al's very quick acceptance of responsibility and apology and his willingness to be investigated and to take the consequences is the kind of accountability I'm talking about. I don't hear that from Roy Moore or Donald Trump.
See, my perv is better than your
okay,
perv.
But wait a minute. But what Secretary Clinton just said is factually correct.
How is it factually correct?
It's factually correct as far as accountability goes that this U.S. senator, I won't describe him as of yet, Al Franken is accepting responsibility.
Well,
the question is,
yes.
You know the million-dollar question,
yes.
How many more are going to come
of
forward?
Of course, but he's done the Louis C.K. approach, which is fall on the sword, claim you're not a misogynist, you're not a sexist, that was an indiscretion, a youthful indiscretion. Now it turns out another woman has surfaced to say, yeah, he had his hands, the lech, on my buttocks. As a U.S. senator.
While her husband is there taking the photo.
Exactly. Which sounds like something that Bush 41 was doing.
So, Curtis, I know you've never done this, but explain this to me. Is the rationale of a man that does something like this is, ooh, once I touch her in a sexually way, she's going to want to have sex with me?
No.
What are you thinking when you do something like that?
Because her husband is right there. It's basically, see, I got it like that. It's a guy thing. He's pawing her tuchus, her cheeks, while taking a picture. The husband's right there. In essence, saying, I got it like that. I'm a U.S. senator. I'm Al Franken. I'm entitled. If I want to reach out and grab your wife's ass, I'm entitled to do
that. But what is it? It's not like the woman is going to go, ooh, I'm sexually aroused. Let's go have sex in the closet. What is that supposed to do?
It's all a power thing. It's not sexual. It's a power thing.
But they don't do it to guys for the most part. I mean, we did have that one senator with rubbing the feet under the
From Idaho, Craig.
Right, Craig.
Yeah,
I hear what you're saying about the power thing, but what is it? Here's what I'm trying to
how
say.
How about we do this?
Okay.
We got a lot of listeners out there, some of whom are tuchus grabbers. Let's ask our tuchus grabbers out there, why do you grab a woman's bottom and squeeze her cheeks? 1-800-848-WABC.
Wait, are you serious?
Unwantedly.
Are you serious? You think people are going to call up admit to grabbing a woman's backside
there
and squeezing?
There are guys that have done that. Absolutely. And you know our listeners. They're ready to blow the hinges off the door and acknowledge everything. 1-800-848-9222. And ladies out there, if you've had these lechers come up to you and all they did was just reach down, grab your cheeks, and squeeze, as if they were squeezing a honeydew.
Do you realize how crazy this is? That I asked my wife for the first time yesterday, Marilyn, in 35 years. I said, oh, honey, anybody ever sexually harass you? And she said, no. She went on to say something. She works at a Catholic college. I can't go into the details.
You mean no priest perved on her?
I'm not commenting. Let's leave that part alone.
You just mentioned Catholic, and right away I got a certain knee-jerk reaction.
Maybe you hit a nerve. I'll just leave it there.
Okay. Anyway, our number is 1-800-848-WABC. But then this is what Hillary told Rita Cosby. She said, look at the president.
You know, look, we have a man who's accused of sexual assault sitting in the Oval Office, don't we?
So right away she used reverse osmosis. And then the unexpected occurred earlier the past week when Christian Gillibrand, and what a fake, phony, fraudulent fugazi she is. She campaigned with the Clintons.
Let me just say this. Be careful, Senator. Be careful.
Hell yes.
That's all I'm going to say.
Now go ahead. I know where your bones are buried, Christine.
Okay, you said it.
Kirsten.
You said it. I didn't need to say it.
I know where her bones
are buried. Senator, be very, very careful. You're walking on very thin ice.
Yes, with a confidant, an ally of Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo.
Ooh, you know it as well.
Whose complexion has always been his protection.
Ooh.
See, don't I know where all the bones are buried and who buried them?
Okay, but let's move on because you're crazy enough to say it. Let's move on, please.
On this issue.
I don't want to be fired today.
I know, but on this issue of Kirsten, she had no problem accepting Clinton money from Chapman.
Right.
No problem. Both of them campaigning for her. And then all of a sudden with this climate, this tsunami, rightfully so, the guys are being outed for being pervs. She decides to say now that then President Clinton should have resigned.
Is it your view that the President Clinton should have stepped down at that time, given the allegations?
I think that is the appropriate response. But I think things have changed today. And I think under those circumstances, there should be a very different reaction. And I think in light of this conversation, we should have a very different conversation about President Trump.
And let me say this about Kirsten Gillibrand.
Can we get off of her, please?
No, because she's alleged that members of the Senate perved her, which
right.
I believe.
Okay, I believe that as well.
She won't name names, But that's bad because now you could even look at Chuck Schumer, who I know the
Come
only
on,
one.
Come on, Curtis. Let's be fair to her. Come on. And to any woman senator, if you name your accusers, first of all they're going to do is lie. Second of all, your political career is over.
You'll no longer be part of the old boys club. Now you look at every man in the Senate, Republican or Democrat, and think they could have been the perv that preyed on her. Now, the one guy I know who would not is Chuck Schumer because he's in love with himself. He only pervs himself, right? This guy has no time for anybody. That's the one guy.
Senator Schumer is deeply in love with his wife. Go ahead.
You're kidding. Weisenfeld, whatever her name is.
Let's move on.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. But here... here's Hillary Clinton with Rita Cosby firing back at Kirsten Gillibrand.
There were allegations that were disproved. It's unfortunate that people are either misremembering or misinterpreting history.
Misremembering? Boy, you know, if I'm in trouble, I want Hillary by my side. That woman will not give an inch on the indiscretions of her husband.
Okay, but wait a minute. First of all, what happened between her and her husband is a private matter. That's number one. And I resent people telling her that she should have divorced her husband. Who the hell are we to say to somebody to get involved in somebody's marriage and tell them what to do?
Yeah.
Don't look at me that way.
Yeah.
We don't know the dynamics of their marriage.
You're right. And we had no business suggesting, as some have done, that her true love interest was Uma and not Bill.
Wait, what?
Yeah, and that Bill is just a, you know, he's a beard.
See, you're going to areas now that I have
Come
no
on.
Idea
you
what you're talking
Come on,
about.
You know that. Anyway, let's go to the phones. It's Bill in New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here at WABC. Billy?
You know, Hillary Clinton is the most highly skilled liar that I can recall in my last 60
and Trump
years.
And President Trump is not, Bill?
No.
Are you serious, Bill?
Oh, come on. Let's keep the focus on the liar of all times, Hillary Clinton. And by the way, I did not have sex with that girl, Monica Lewinsky. I do not know what that stain is
okay,
on
but
her
wait.
Dress.
Okay, but wait, Bill. But wait, Bill. But wait, Bill. I'm not making an excuse for Mr. Clinton, but he told the truth. If we're going to define sex. Now, he had oral sex, but he didn't have sex.
What the hell are you talking about? That's sex.
No, it was oral sex.
When you get orally fixated, that's sex.
Okay, it depends on the definition of sex.
No, except down south, where they fly, you know, the stars and bars, and they think you can marry a 13-year-old first cousin, right? Like Jerry Lee Lewis, Great Balls of Fire. Oh, Dominic, what a sycophant, toady, and lackey you are of the Clintons. Because, you know, you don't live far away. You're in Pomona. They're in Chappaqua, the whitest suburb in America, in their love shack.
Last time I checked, I'm African-American.
Where even the lawn jockeys are white. Anyway, let's go to Gail in Westchester. Speaking of Westchester, welcome to Dominic and Curtis here at WABC. Gail?
Hi, guys. Dominic, I love you. You too, Curtis. But
thank you, Gail.
Dominic, could you stay on forever?
Oh, that's nice of you, Gail. That's nice, Gail. So, Gail, explain this to me, Gail, please, because I don't get it. So a guy is going to grab a woman's butt, and that's supposed to sexually arouse you and say, ooh, baby, let's go to bed? I don't get it.
No, I had a man grab my butt. He was fired over it. I felt badly about it. It didn't faze me. So he grabbed my butt. But I did tell my supervisor, and the next day I know the man was fired. So I felt badly about that. But, Dominic, I have to tell you something very important. Dominic?
I'm listening, Gail.
Oh, Bill Clinton raped Juanita Broderick. So what woman, Dominic, hold on, what woman wants to be married to a rapist?
Not only that, he did a fender bender to Kathy Wiley, remember, in the White House, where she was staring outside. She was.
Wait, I hate to ask this question, because I want to go back to Gail's point, but a fender bender? I'm sorry, I don't know what a fender bender
is. As she was staring out, looking at the window, crying, you know, she was feeling sorrow for
and
the
which
loss
woman
of her
was
husband,
this? Which woman?
Kathy Wiley.
Okay, go ahead.
Remember
go
with
ahead.
The cat
yes,
who suddenly
yes.
disappeared?
Yes.
And then Bill Clinton comes behind her like he's mm-hmm. a bumper car. And he doesn't grab the tuchus. He all of a sudden has a little projectile that intersects with her tuchus through clothing. You know, clothing keeps it from apart. And so he did a rub-a-dub-dub on her in her moment of need when she was seeking counsel.
Now, do we have that factually, or that is that
an
allegation?
Kathy Wiley said.
Okay, that's an allegation.
Well, excuse me. Everyone's believing women nowadays. Why wouldn't you believe those women? What are they, a different era? We don't believe those women, but we believe these women?
No.
And wait, what happened to the cat? How come the cat mysteriously disappeared?
But wait, you've Kathy got Wiley's my head cat. Spinning so much. I forgot what the point that Gail had brought up. She said that the man was fired.
Yes.
And she said that Bill Clinton raped the woman. The way I would respond to Gail is, as a political reporter, I hear more. That's why I'm telling Senator Gillibrand she better be very, very careful.
Oh, yeah.
Especially up against these Clintons, because every political reporter in New York knows the allegations as it relates to her.
I know.
And she better be very, very careful.
And don't I always say everything?
Yeah, you do. That's why I'm trying to dominate the mic for the second so that you don't say it. The Clintons are going to drop that. And so she better be very careful.
You mean
Senator Gillibrand?
You mean Annie Oakley? Annie Oakley, that when she was a congresswoman, she was pro-gun. She had guns under her bed.
Oh, right.
The moment
then,
she had a chance
right.
to be the senator. Gun control.
The moment ran the okey-doke on David Patterson
exactly.
and got her to appoint her.
Exactly.
I still don't understand why David Patterson gave her that job. Do you know the ka-ching machine, the ATM, the Kennedys would have done if he
sure.
went with Caroline Kennedy?
Sure. But remember,
do you realize David Patterson would still be a major player right now? Do you understand that Obama would have given him a White House appointment?
Who was putting the arm on him? The schmuck. Don't make that the putz. Chuck E. Cheese Schumer.
Curtis Sliwa. 77 WABC.
To the phones we go. Dominic Carter in the house, and Carl is patiently waiting on the line from Brooklyn. Welcome to WABC, Carl.
Yeah, hello. Before I make my comment, I think, Curtis, you might have been accused of sexual harassment. You made a comment about Mark Viverito with her red dress, whatever. You know.
Yeah, that was a comment. And, in fact, Dominic Carter was the host of that show, and I acknowledge that, but I never touched her. I never grabbed her. In fact, other than seeing her in a green room on two occasions at New York One, I never really met her.
Okay. My comment is the reason there's so much sexual harassment is a lot of these women today, they won't even wear a bra anymore. They go braless wherever they go to work, the Puerto Rican Day Parade. They show all the cleavage.
So, Carl, wait a minute, Carl. I'm with you. So because a woman, I have a daughter that's 28 years old. Because a woman decides she doesn't want to wear a bra, let's say she doesn't wear panties. Let's say she has on a thong or whatever. Hold on, Carl. So that means that we have a right to go, hi, baby, and just touch her backside?
Yeah, but it stimulates the senses, you understand? Better human.
Now, Carl, you're old school, right?
Yeah, I'm old
okay.
school.
I have suggested, and everybody laughs at me, only old school guys know this, that the best way to suppress these urges in all men, whether they're very aggressive or minimally aggressive, is just to reinforce what used to be done in the military and in prisons throughout America. Feed them saltpeter in their Cheerios in the morning, and it will keep, instead of them being turgid, they will be flaccid. Right? Am I right or wrong, Carl?
I never heard that before.
Well,
potassium nitrate.
Carl, Mr. Sliwa mentioned it to me, but, you know, we're laughing and we're joking, but this is not a joking matter at all, because if my daughter ever calls me and says, Daddy, this man just touched my rear side or touched my breast, you might have to visit me, Mr. Sliwa, seriously. So,
Damaria, Arsening.
Who knows? So it's not a joking matter. So, you know, it's not cool. And we started out this way. I want somebody to explain to me. So you see an attraction. My philosophy is this. A woman, if she's interested in you, they have a way of letting you know that they are interested in you and they want it to be on and popping, if you
will. Could that be that cheap knockoff Chanel No. 5 that they douse themselves with when they pass by you? And they expect the hairs
Curtis,
in your nostrils
to twirl? I'm serious here. But to say, I don't know, frankly, maybe it's, I don't want to get in trouble here, but maybe it's a white thing. What the president said, go up and grab him by the, I've never heard a brother say something like that, ever. No. Ever.
Brothers love tookies.
No, I know, no. Brother, I've never heard a brother say, walk up and grab him.
No, no. But brothers love it when a woman has a tookie so big you could serve a meal on it.
But wait, why is that only a black thing? I mean,
hey, that's what those big butt magazines are out there for. The
magazines you tried to get me to look at and I wouldn't look at.
Yeah. But let's
face it. Because I've never seen those ghetto magazines a day in my life.
You ever see a white guy buy those magazines? Nope. It's the brothers. They love.
Have I ever seen a white guy that loves a black woman? Is that what you're asking me?
Well, no.
Because I can by the thousands
I'm
for that.
About big butt.
Big butt.
Yeah. Well, when we come back, I'm going to have to re-educate you, maybe nourish your memory, black man Dominic Carter. But right now, let's get our news headlines and updates from Ken Duffy.
He knows the city, live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
Like big. In your face, you get sprung. Wanna pull up tough, cause you notice that butt was stuck.
No white boy did this song. This was Sir Mix-a-Lot. Remember Sir Mix-a-Lot from Seattle?
I don't know where we're going with this.
I'm just pointing it out. When you're so fixated on why guys want to grab tookish of a woman.
You see, the reason why, I need to leave this alone... I'm looking at my Twitter right now.
Yes.
And there are comments talking about white guys that like big butts. And this is all because of you.
That is true. There are some. But
And this came from Scotty Dew. He says, don't let Curtis give you a hard time. I'm white, and I love a big butt.
Yeah. There are
this
some
is on
guys.
My, this is on my Twitter feed.
That's a minority. But I would say, with the brothers, it's a passion. And by the way, how can people jump onto your Twitter feed if they want to be Twitch tweeting with you?
Dominic TV, but Dominic, the letter T, the letter V, but not on this topic. Let's move on.
Yeah, we want to take you south of the Mason-Dixon line where they still fly the stars and bars, the flag of treason in Alabama. And this was towards the end of last week. And I want to ask you as a reporter, and you've dealt with all kinds of scrums with reporters and hostile people and people you're trying to question, how you would have dealt with this. Roy Moore had just completed a press conference. He called the press conference. So a large group of reporters of all types showed up, and then his supporters, like, just started getting into the faces of the reporters, screaming, hollering, hooting, getting all mean, all mad, threatening them, creating a circumference, like circling the wagon train, you know, in defense of Moore, who ran into a kitchen and was hiding, wouldn't come out.
Did you stop beating your wife? Yes or no?
Sir, are you,
did
are
you,
you
stop beating your wife? You or yes or no?
Are you a man of faith?
See,
man of faith.
Did you stop beating your wife? Answer yes or no.
To meet my wife?
Yes or no.
Well,
I said yes or no.
Love you.
Well, you don't have an answer for it because it's a logical fallacy.
Sir,
you are a
you
clown.
You were asked to ask questions about the issues.
They
the
did
issues
not do it. They don't
state,
care about
the
doing
issues
that.
About our country. You were not asked to ask personal questions about Mr. Moore. We wanted to hear what he had to say about the issues, and you did not allow it because you are the fake, lying news from the swamp.
I'm an Alabama reporter. I live in Birmingham.
Yeah, I'm understanding.
And we haven't had a chance to ask our Senate candidate questions all week.
Well, I'm sorry about that, but you could probably imagine why, couldn't you?
No, because we should be able to ask our candidate questions.
Now, how do you deal with that kind of hostility where not only the person who calls the press conference won't answer questions, but then the crowd tries to bum rush you and your colleagues and keep you away from the person who is running away?
You have a responsibility to ask the difficult question, even when it's a hostile environment. And this is why I have a problem with what's going on in America. When you hear a politician say at their news conference, only on-topic questions. In other words, I want to spoon-feed you information, and I don't want to deal with anything of substance, only what I'm talking about. And this is sweeping America. So we saw this a little bit, frankly, in the presidential campaign at the Trump rallies. When I face a situation like that, I went through this with your boy Giuliani, where he kept shouting at me. I was embarrassing myself as I went to ask him questions at an event. You just keep going. You got to keep going. You got to ask the question. You try and report the story straight up.
Well, the guy you heard that triggered that all off, the supporter of Judge Moore, he appeared on a local radio station in Birmingham today in defense of Judge Moore.
Or many of the ladies that he possibly could have married were not available then. They were already married, maybe somewhere. And so he looked in a different direction, and always with the parents of younger ladies. By the way, the lady that he's married to now, Miss Kayla, is a younger woman. He did that because, you know, there's something about a purity of a young woman.
The purity of a young woman.
That's sick. That response is sick. And if this is who the campaign is putting forth to speak for them, they need to rethink their strategy.
Well, let's
because
find,
it's called statutory
let's
rape.
Let's find out from our many listeners out there if, in fact, as this supporter of Judge Moore said, Flip Benham, that there is something about the purity of a young woman that will attract a man to her. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-WABC. In that same interview, Flip Benham asked if it's okay for a 32-year-old man to date a 14-year-old.
Is it all right for a man who's 30 years old to date and court a young lady who is 14 years old with their parents' consent? Is it or is it
no?
Not at my house.
No.
No, it's not. Not in the 80s.
Okay, so who determined that?
I did.
Okay, so the parents don't have a right to do that?
So in this guy's mind, if the parents say it's okay for you, 32-year-old perv, to snack on my 14-year-old daughter, it's okay.
It's not okay. Here's why. One, that's not the allegation of what happened. Let's not try and cute this up and act like it was a romantic tale. This was a 32-year-old predator who happened to be the district attorney attacking, basically, young girls that didn't know any better and were just discovering themselves.
Well, in fact, earlier today on the Today Show, the woman who claimed at the time when she was 14 that Judge Moore perved on her, Leah Korfman, explained their get-together.
Well, I wouldn't exactly call it a date. I'd say it was a meet. Mm-hmm. At 14, I was not dating. At 14, I was not able to make those kind of choices. I met him around the corner from my house. My mother did not know. And he took me to his home. After arriving at his home, on the second occasion that I went with him, he basically laid out some blankets on the floor of his living room and proceeded to seduce me, I guess you would say. And during the course of that, he removed my clothing. He left the room and came back in wearing his white underwear. And he touched me over my clothing, what was left of it. And he tried to get me to touch him as well. And at that point, I pulled back and said that I was not comfortable. And I got dressed and he took me home.
And then, following that, Savannah Guthrie of the Today Show asked Korfman if she was paid.
Kayla Moore, Roy Moore's wife, has suggested that some of the accusers, although she didn't name you specifically, that some of the accusers were paid. So I have to ask you, were you paid or compensated in any way by any entity for your story?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. If anything, this has cost me. I've had to take leave from my job. I have no tickets to Tahiti. And my bank account has not flourished. If anything, it has gone down because currently I'm not working.
And then the question from the Today Show inquisitors was, why didn't you say anything, you know, years later? Why did you wait almost 40 years?
My children were small. I was a single parent. And when you're in that situation, you do everything you can to protect your own. And I sat in the courtroom, in the courthouse parking lot, and thought, you know, I'm going in, I'm going to confront him.
Years later, you thought about it.
This is 2001, and I wanted to walk into his office and say, hey, remember me? You know, you need to knock this stuff off. You know, I need to go public. My children were small, so I didn't do it.
Now, remember, there is the allegation that it was Judge Moore, and we know this to be true, was the lead judge in her divorce filing. I don't think we still have adequately had an answer from either Leah Korfman, the accuser, her mouthpiece, Gloria Aldred, as to whether she was ever in the court at the same time as Judge Moore. Judge Moore does not necessarily remember that. Like a lot of things in Alabama, people don't remember. Jeff Sessions and Roy Moore, they seem to have collective memory loss. Anyway, let's go to the phones. It is Ray who's calling from Long Island. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here at WABC. Ray?
Well, hi, guys. But I got a problem with this woman, the way she's describing things. I mean, a 14-year-old girl, number one, if she didn't want to have anything to do with this guy, why would she meet him around the corner from her house if she had no intention of going with him? Is it right? No. But the whole idea of what she's saying and how she's describing all of this is, to me, like somewhere out in fantasy land.
Well, Ray, there's no doubt that she was probably tremendously flattered as a 14-year-old that a man in his 30s, who appeared to be prominent in Gadsden as a small town, was interested in being with her. I don't think she understood what the ramifications might be. She clearly didn't want her mother to know. That's why she stood around the corner away from the house.
Curtis, the question is then, was she expecting he was going to take her to the mall shop and buy her ice cream?
Well, pedophile, you know. Yeah, but Ray, if you understand, you understand how pedophiles operate. They don't immediately move in to score. They will take you to the movies. They'll take you to arcades. They'll buy you clothes. They sweeten you up. They sort of win your trust, and then they make the move.
And not only that, Curtis, and to you, Ray, if he was taking her to the mall and buying her stuff, you're right. They do entice their victims that way. But there's nothing illegal in that. To pick this young lady up and end up at his house, apparently touching her in inappropriate ways and doing things that she didn't want done, that is illegal. It's a big difference between those two activities.
Now, you have Ivana Trump, who says she believes all the accusers in the Judge Roy Moore case. But she doesn't believe any of the female accusers against her daddy.
Surprise.
You know, that's
shocking.
This whole thing is, my pervs are better than your pervs. Hillary, Franken, Louis C.K., Ivana Trump, Donald Trump, Judge Moore, his apologist. It's come down to the fact, as Kellyanne Conway said earlier, because she's been no supporter of Judge Moore with these allegations, her new position is this. We need his tax bill vote. So if he's a pedophile, so be it. We need his tax bill vote. 1-800-848-WABC.
Live, local, on it. Curtis Lewa.
Curtis Lewa.
77 WABC.
To the phones we go. Dominic Carter in the house. To Dan in Long Island. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here at WABC. Dan.
Dominic, how are you? Curtis, how you doing?
I've had better days.
Curtis, we go back a long way to Fordham Logan University when you had your little office there with the Guardian Angels.
Oh, sure.
I was a transit cop out of 11.
Now, by the way, did you bust me and get any overtime like a lot of coppers
then? No, nah, I didn't bust you. I didn't bust none of you guys.
All right.
Held up the subway a little bit, but you did fine for me.
Appreciate that. Thanks.
Listen, I just want to say, you know, I don't know why we can't go back to the old days. What happened to the word modesty? Nobody understands the word modesty. Women, the best thing a woman could wear is a mini skirt. Not a mini, not a length, a midi. They're the most attractive things going. Women have to be a little bit modest about their bodies. They can't go out and just flaunt themselves. I mean, I'm not saying it's... Women want to do what they want to do. Dominic said about a bra before. You know, that's fine. But modesty...
Dan, let me ask you this. I thank you for your years of service as a police officer, but I want you to reflect on what you're saying right now. So it's not on us as men and what we do. It's on the woman and how she dresses. So we're always going to be alligators. We're not the ones that's at fault. It's the woman's fault because she's dressing the way she wants to dress.
There's a lot of men out there that I tell you they're all pigs. There are a lot of men out there that are pigs. But women should dress modestly like the old days. I mean, there was rape and everything going on years ago. I know that for a fact. But it wasn't thrown in people's faces like it is today.
Yeah, well, that's because it didn't surface and women didn't complain because there were ramifications. There was a stigma against them. But a lot of that was going on a regular basis. It's just we were not necessarily aware of it. Oftentimes we were oblivious to it. Now women are basically saying, touch me, and there'll be a hell of a price to pay if it's an unwanted touch.
And that's the way it should be.
Absolutely. And whether it's Franken or Louis C.K. or Judge Moore or Bill Clinton or whomever, hopefully the lesson is learned.
Curtis Sliwa.
The search for common ground begins today.
Founder of the Guardian Angels.
I got distracted. I thought Curtis Sliwa from the Guardian Angels was over there.
Curtis Sliwa.
There's a guy in a red hat.
Host of The Drive at 5, Curtis Sliwa.
We the people.
He's the New York State Reform Party chairman.
New York radio talk show host.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa is here.
He's really a New York City hero.
Yeah.
He's an American hero.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
Six minutes after the hour or two, classic Motley Crue. It's about Sunset Boulevard in Los Angeles and the many strip clubs there and the girls who just come at you in waves, whether they happen to be anatomically correct girls or gender bender girls who were boys first and then girls, whatever. But it is interesting, before we get into the subject, about an Ohio Supreme Court justice and Democratic gubernatorial candidate in the Buckeye State, coming clean and saying, I want you to know about all the sex that I've had in my life. And boy, has there been blowback. We have some breaking news.
This is breaking news on 77 WABC New York.
Now, you remember as a crackerjack gumshoe reporter, Dominic Carter, when it was alleged that the Secretary of State, Tillerson, had called the president a moron in a meeting, right?
Yes.
And then he spent all week doing his mea culpa saying, absolutely not, fake news, the media set me up. Now I anticipate you and your colleagues will be chasing White House National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster, who reportedly said President Trump had the intelligence of a kindergartner and called him an idiot and a dope during a private dinner over the summer in Washington. Now, you know he's going to be doing his mea culpas all week, claiming fake news, never said it, made up. But we know these conversations take place. And this is not the first president that has been condemned by either advisors or members of their immediate cabinet.
Certainly not the first president, but we have never seen it to this level, so public, so quickly, with a president's poll numbers going down so rapidly.
Anyway, our numbers... No, I'm not going to give our numbers because we're high atop Madison Square Garden, the great facilities provided to us in order to do this broadcast to all of you with the 50,000 powerful watts of sound by NJDiet.com. And the hawk is talking out there, which is added to my miserable state. I'm counting off the calendar the way a guy in jail looks towards going to his parole hearing or a cop looks to do 20 in New York City and then, you know, get half pay and a pension with all the benefits for the rest of his life. 23 days to my operation to end this misery that I've been living with for 2.5 years. So I'm actually looking forward to it.
How long is the surgery?
Surgery could be many hours. I have a lot of internal damage, you know, from the hollow point bullets that the Gottis and Gambino sprayed into my lower extremities in the back of that cab in 92.
Do you ever worry about them coming back at you?
Nah, like they had two cracks at me. First with baseball bats and then with hollow point bullets. Am I here? Am I a man? Am I standing here?
But you don't ever worry, because I would worry when I'm walking along a dark street, you know, by myself, you know, I would worry.
I don't understand. Why would you worry walking along a dark street?
Because they've already made it clear they don't like you.
Yeah, but on a dark street, nobody's going to spot you at night. You're like stealth. Right? I mean, come on, guys.
What is wrong with you?
A dark street that with no lights. That's what it means. You know, unless you smile or open up your eyes or show me your palms, I'm not going to be able to see you at night. But anyway, let's get to this Supreme Court justice, because he's running to replace the present governor of the state of Ohio, Kasich. Right. He has decided, and I applaud him.
Really?
That he's not going to wait for the negative researchers to blow the hinges off of the door and report about all of his sexual activity in his life. He has said that for 50 years, I have had sex with 50 different women, which would make it about, what are we talking about, one a year, which is not outrageous or off the hook. Your hero, Will Chamberlain, claims to have bedded down 10,000, and the Kiss Army claims that their hero, now banned from the Fox News channel in perpetuity, Gene Simmons, had sex with 8,000 women, right? So what's 50 in 50 years? But the tremendous blowback he's
got. Yeah, are you serious? Are you really applauding this clown?
I'm not applauding it. What I'm saying is better that he reveal it, get it out in front.
That's what you call it? All it is doing a de Blasio. That's all this is.
Yeah,
that's all
this amounts to. He wasn't married.
Right.
He's been single.
But it's a de Blasio.
Wait. He says, in the last 50 years, I was sexually intimate with approximately 50 very attractive females. It ranged from a gorgeous blonde who was my first true love, and we made passionate love in the hayloft of her parents' barn.
Right. Why does it have to be very attractive? See, don't you see the play on his own ego? That it's 50 women, but they had to be very attractive for me to sleep with them.
And
who says he's attractive?
And ended with a drop-dead gorgeous redhead from Cleveland.
See what I'm saying?
All right. Well, let's go to the audio tape, because he is under fire now, and the Democratic Party wants him to drop out of the race.
And he should.
For being truthful?
Well, one, he's still on the state Supreme Court. That's number one.
But
that's number
there's
one.
There's nothing illegal about having sex with women when you're not married.
But Curtis, this is a de Blasio. See, look at
Let's listen to him first.
Okay.
Let's listen to him
first. Heterosexual men are very much under attack right now. I fully believe I'm probably the next target. Eventually, somebody's going to dig up something I did 30 years ago and say, oh my gosh, you're not qualified to be governor of Ohio.
Then he went on to say, if it takes coming out and letting you know what I've done, so be it.
If it takes me coming out and saying, you know, I've been intimate with 50 people, I'll do that. I'll do that because it brings the level of discourse up.
So you would disqualify him?
Completely.
Running to
Here's why. Here's why.
Can I remind you that in the last gubernatorial race against Andrew Evilize Cuomo, King Cuomo II, the son of Mario Faccia Bruta Cuomo, King Cuomo I, that one of his adversaries, who debated him, remember when the rent is too high to pay, guy was up there along with the crazy man Carl Paladino, you know, who was titched in the brain, was I'm trying to remember
the
name.
The phone book. Right, the madam.
Christian.
Right.
Davis.
Right.
She was running for governor. Now, she had sex with thousands and obviously procured women for men who were willing to pay for that sex. She ran for the governorship of the state of New York. Actually did fairly well in the debate, if you remember, compared to Carl Paladino.
Yes. Okay. But here, let's stick with this candidate for governor in Ohio.
Yeah.
Number one, could you, me, or anybody else name this guy until he did this despicable thing of coming forward?
And why do you say it's despicable?
It's despicable because it's genius if you look at it for all the wrong reasons. He did it to become somebody. He did it for the headlines, and it worked. He went from being nobody to almost everyone knows about the guy in Ohio that's running for governor that slept with 50 women. Number two, here's why he did it, de Blasio. When de Blasio was running for mayor early on, as it relates to his wife's past and her past gay relationships, what did they do? They were preemptive. They went to Essence magazine, had her do the story, telling about her past love affairs or relationships.
Yeah,
with
hardcore
women.
Lesbian.
Right,
hardcore.
Right. Well, your term, okay. But her relationships.
Well, she actually belonged to a lesbian commune in Boston when she was going to school. She was originally Mrs. De Blasio from Springfield, Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. And she wrote many articles about you got hardcore lesbianism, you got to be true to lesbianism. So when she broke ranks, boy, her sorority there really took umbrage.
Right,
to that.
But remember, those were all loose ends out there publicly.
Ah.
So just like the judge knew all of those relationships, he's putting a romantic spin on this. I'm sure many of those relationships did not end well. And he knows that his opponents and one of those women were going to come public and drop a dime
right
on him.
So,
he was preempted.
Can we find out from our many listeners, based on what he said, that he had relationships over 50 years with 50 different women. He was unmarried, not have kids.
And on the state Supreme Court.
Right. These were not gumadas, although probably not on the state Supreme Court all 50 years, but for a while. Should this disqualify him as the Democrats now want? Him not to be able to run for governor, and Republicans are chirping in too on this and saying he's unqualified to be governor. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. So do we continue to run political campaigns in which everyone fakes us out and creates a fugazi, loving family photo in which they talk about, for instance, and I'm not saying that this is incorrect, but Mitt Romney, who created the image, you know, the Family Guy, the Mormon, who actually said when he was campaigning for the presidency against Barack Obama the second time around, he married his high school sweetheart, which was true, and he never had an argument with her. Never had an argument with her. I found that implausible to believe that you would never have had an argument with your wife. But he said that. And you remember, he tried to create this image that there was never problems. Everything was copacetic. Do we want our candidates to continue to lie like that for the most part? Or do we want them, before they run for office, tell us everything, roll it all out there, let the voters, like consumers, know the good, the bad, the ugly, and then make an educated decision?
Politicians can't do that. You well know, in order to run for public office, you have to have a very good self-esteem about yourself. You have to think that you're above, frankly, most others. And with that comes this sense of entitlement when it comes to your sex life.
You know what happened. This Ohio Supreme Court justice hired a firm to do negative research on whichever Democrats are going to primary him. And the first one that they researched was him. This is what they always do because they don't trust the person hiring them. And they tell you that straight up in their meetings. 20 cents of every dollar you donate to a candidate goes to negative research. And they probably told him, this is going to come up. They'll put a real negative spin on it. You better get out ahead of this. 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to John out in Staten Island. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here on WABC. Johnny?
Curtis, Dominic, guys, listen, this guy, number one, he comes out, he says he, you know, had 50 women with sex. What about now all these girls might line up and maybe should take an STD test, and if they have an STD and he's telling these girls, you're the only one for me, is there libel suits for that one maybe?
Well, the problem that he has now is now that he's gone public and described basically who the first woman is without attaching a name to her, and the last one, the redhead in Cleveland, people like Dominic Carter are going to find out who these women are. It won't take long. And I can't believe that there are going to be 50 women that they end up finding, or some of them, who say nothing but nice things about him. The only one that ever happened with, and I'm thinking back because he was running for the presidency at one time. Remember, he was the district attorney on Law and Order. He did, I'm trying to tell, a number of movies.
Oh, he was only a candidate for a short time, and then he dropped out.
Right, right.
It was not, meant for him.
Yes. Drove around in his pickup truck.
He played the district attorney in Law and Order.
Yeah, the name was Fred Thompson.
Right, Fred Thompson.
I read a Vanity Fair piece on him. All of his girlfriends.
And you believe it.
All of his previous wives.
And you believe the piece.
The women were interviewed.
Yeah, right.
And they said he was the best friend they ever had.
Mm.
You didn't believe it, huh? Why are you so jaded? Why are you so skeptical? Is that what makes you a reporter?
No, no, because in politics, I have never met the perfect candidate.
But I'm saying, here's the reality. Because he
politicians lie. They will do anything to get elected. The women at their side will do anything to get elected.
But these are old girlfriends that he's had no contact with. They found them.
I don't buy it.
They all said he was a great stand-up
guy. I don't
buy
it. I guarantee you if I look in his background hard enough, I'll find the one with negative things to say.
I think if you found everyone I was ever with, they would have nothing but negative things to say about me.
About you?
Of course.
I'm not going there.
Because once I've loved them.
I'm not going there. I have a personal interest with you. So,
and then I leave them.
So I can't.
I have nothing to do with them unless I've had children with them, which I've had with two. And I have to talk with them because of the kids.
But Curtis, can we leave this alone, please?
No, we're not going to. Because when we come back.
One of your former, I don't know what, is the current Queensborough president. Let's leave it alone, bro.
Why do you?
I don't
want
to go there.
Everybody knows that,
right? But I don't want to talk about Melinda because she's a friend of mine. I don't want to.
They're all friends of yours. You would stick the shiv in me in a heartbeat, Dominic Carter. 1-800-848-WABC. When we return, Holy Roller Family Values guy, also in Ohio.
Those are the worst.
Chasing young men on Craigslist.
Wait, say that again?
Chasing young men.
And this was a Holy Roller conservative?
Against gay marriage, against homosexuality.
Aren't those always the ones?
And then is caught in his legislative office having sex with a guy. And he has decided, I better resign. This ain't going to float. I'm not Judge Roy Moore here. I don't have a cadre of supporters who are going to be tolerant of this.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Lewa, 77 WABC.
To the phones we go. Dominic Carter in the house. It's John from White Plains. Welcome to WABC, Johnny.
Hey, what's up, boys? How you doing? I just got two comments. My first comment is when you're talking about the way the women dress and all of that, I think November 29th should be a national holiday. Because that's when Joseph Shiver was born. He was the inventor of the spandex pants. It was actually bought out by DuPont. They were making it for bras and stuff like this. This guy had a great idea. Let's make pants out of it. I mean, makes anybody look good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it gives women a more professional-looking appearance if they're competing in the business world.
Oh, I would say, why not? It's all beauty's in the eyes of the beholder. Anyway, and the second thing I want to say is about Donald Trump. The only reason why I voted for Donald Trump was because Hillary Clinton was running against him. I think people just got tired of the Clintons and all of their crookedness. And she actually is to blame for Donald Trump being there now. In the beginning, I was all with Donald. I said, let's go for the unknown compared to the known. I don't think he stepped up to the plate. I also think that his hands were tied. Everything he did try to do was like going up against a brick wall. It's crazy what's going on in the world today.
Like, yeah, but what's interesting, John, is you are a reflection of so many people who did vote for Trump, even though there were all kinds of allegations against him that he was a perv. Many women surfaced. It all became like Teflon. Because, like me, like so many other people, Dominic, out there, we hated Hillary. We didn't believe her. We knew she was a liar. We just knew that she couldn't be trusted. And you figure you go with the new guy as opposed to the old liar. But now you figure, wait a second, Trump, boy, does he do his fair share of lying. You know, they're Pinocchios.
How did that work out for you?
I voted for myself. I didn't vote for either Trump or Hillary. And as you remember, I was going to vote for the Libertarian candidate, but he Aleppo'd himself. And did a number of other things, I think, because he was smoking too many ropes of dope. But anyway, on that note, let's get our news headlines and updates from Ken Duffy.
Live, local, on it. Curtis Lewa.
Curtis Lewa.
77 WABC.
.237, Dominic Carter in the house as we approach Tom Turkey Day, Thursday. And Thanksgiving was always a time when we were growing up, Dominic, especially for you and for me, because we played high school football, that you would basically have your main game sometimes for the entire high school year.
No doubt about it.
Held on Thanksgiving. I went to Brooklyn Prep Jesuit High School, where the Jesuits decided in my senior year to shine their boots on my backside and kick me to the curb. But having played some years in football, our arch rival was St. John's Prep, and we would play them on Thanksgiving. And years before that, it was even a bigger game because it would be played at the old Ebbets Field where the Brooklyn Dodgers played. And high schools have had that tradition. I'm sure the high schools that you went to where you played football, there was the tradition.
Cardinal Hayes as a freshman. We would play Cardinal Spellman.
Right.
And then as a sophomore, I went to DeWitt Clinton. And I also went to Kennedy. And they would often play each other.
And so. What's happening now is, though, that Thanksgiving football game that was a tradition when you were going to high school is beginning to disappear slowly but surely, as high school athletic directors are deciding not to continue that tradition, not to schedule their arch rivals on Thanksgiving Day itself. So when you look at the calendar of events, less and less of those actions are taking place. And I wonder if it all has to do with this tsunami of criticism that is also being waged against the playing of what we know, Dominic Carter, and growing up as American smash-mouth football. Not the fake, phony, fraudulent football they spell with a U, you know, kickball, soccer. But good old-fashioned American smash-mouth football. I'm looking to your favorite team, the New York Jets, because I remember you were amongst the brothers and sisters watching a game. You had a throwback Joe Namath jersey on, and they were screaming at you. Why are you wearing a Joe Namath jersey? Why aren't you like Flashlight, who used to be the wide receiver on the opposite side of Wayne Corbett? He was styling and profiling all the time.
Wayne Corbett was pretty good now. He could ball. Why are you shaking your head? No. He could ball.
Brian Mongalooch is telling me, Deion Sanders, you schmuck. He wasn't a New York Jet. No, Wayne Corbett was the white guy from Hofstra. The black guy from USC, Flashlight.
Oh, Keyshawn Johnson.
That's it. What a moron. Yeah. Yeah.
Both of them were good.
Right, but you love the Jets. You won Jet guard.
And I liked Wayne Corbett because he could take a hit and he could play.
And look at what Jet wide receiver Jeremy Curley is saying now. And he's almost like the size of Wayne Corbett was. He's a shorty short. So, you know, you're running out in the middle of the field. And if a linebacker just takes your head off in midfield after you catch it, you could end up having your bell rung and having multiple concussions. But he has an 8-year-old who's like the acorn that fell from the tree. He is like a phenom for his age. In almost every play, the 8-year-old gets the handoff or he gets the pass because he's the best player on the team. But recently his 8-year-old said, Daddy, I'm getting headaches. And immediately, although the Jets' Jeremy Curley is a professional, he said, I don't want you playing football anymore. He put his foot down. He said, no more tackle football. The kid, naturally, has postpartum depression. He's crying. Just doesn't understand why his daddy won't let him play football, since his daddy makes his living playing smash-mouth American football. But this is really starting to become a trend out there, both amongst those that play professional football, those who are big, huge followers of the sport. They just don't want their children or their grandchildren or their immediate extended family members playing that great tradition of ours.
I can understand each side of this argument. Science has improved so that when you and I played, we didn't understand the extent of the full damage that was being done when you ring somebody's bell to yourself or to the individual. I fully support the game. And my son has epilepsy, so he would have given anything to play on the high school team. He made the team, and on the last day of practice tryouts, had a seizure, and so the school district wouldn't let him play.
Oh, totally understood.
So I would let my son play if he could play. I understand why some parents don't, but football, for an inner-city kid like myself that never had a father, it's what got me here today. It's the only thing that kept me going positive.
Well, explain that. Explain that, because I think oftentimes that gets lost in the discussion of the injury factor versus character building, discipline, and structure that American football provides to a lot of kids out there who never make it to the pros, don't play collegiate football, don't even play high school football sometimes. They just play peewee football.
Well, in my case, my mother wasn't around because she suffered from severe mental illness, and my father was never in the picture. And so I was raised by my grandmother, as you know, in the Bronx. And when you grow up poor in the projects and you have nothing and you got to put food on the table, that means extracurricular activities. If they're not free, you're not going to be able to do it. Mm. And so football was a way of keeping me off the streets for my grandmother. And this is why I don't buy into the argument of race, because one of the only male role models that I had in my life happened to be a white football coach who was a police officer who listens to this station. His name is Bill. And Bill dedicated his life as a we didn't know that he was patrolling the streets of New York and then coming to practice. And so for 40 black kids, 37 of which didn't have fathers, he was the only father figure we had. So going to practice, going to the games, it kept us from wanting to, during the blackout, go rob somebody on nearby Fordham Road.
See, I think a lot of people don't realize this, the camaraderie, the solidarity,
yes,
the lessons that good coaches can teach
yes
you in
yes
terms of being a real man.
Yes.
And not...
no doubt about it.
Just the fact that this man will come in your face and read the riot act to you.
That's right.
And make you take laps.
That's right.
And if you suck your lip...
That's right.
You're off the team.
Because Coach Bill made it clear that if you disrespect yourself, your family, or the team, you are not going to play. Period. And for a young black kid growing up in the projects of New York City, that was the most important thing for us to be on that field.
So if that didn't exist, and let's face it, you're banging heads there with your helmets.
Yes.
Maybe there were some injuries. Maybe there...
Yes, there were injuries.
If there had not been American football that you could play, there's a pretty good chance that you and a lot of those other young men would have found maybe getting stabbed, shot, drug overdoses.
I'm being real with you right now. It was very clear that I was going to be very good at something. So in my case, it was either journalism or something illegal. But I was going to be very good at something.
Mm.
And so because of Coach Bill, because of the state of New York, I played football and then was able to get a full ride, courtesy to taxpayers, to go to college. That's
and,
my
and
story.
Which college did you go to?
SUNY Cortland undergraduate, Syracuse University graduate school.
Oh, yeah, yeah, party schools. 1-800-848-WABC. Yeah, Beastie Boys, you're right to party. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Tim, who's calling from Westchester. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here on WABC. Tim?
It was once said of a famous linebacker, why don't we just put dresses on the quarterbacks? Now, look. Guys, years ago, I played football. There were psycho coaches out there, too. Let's not candy coat this. The no water when you were jogging and stuff during practice. There was also a technique in tackling that was absurd. I wouldn't even mention where kids got injured. The coach didn't even know that it was an improper way to tackle. If you knew it, you knew. If you didn't, you didn't. And plus, today, the kids... The kid, I'm a coach. If a kid's 5 feet tall, he wants to be a basketball player. They don't want to play football today. All they're playing soccer. You go around the city today, you see soccer fields, you see artificial turf, the real soft stuff you can sleep on, lights all up. When we were kids playing baseball, we had to move boulders off the field, if you remember. Now, Curtis is a baseball player. No, it's football. There was pebble fields, we called it. Stone, Pebble Beach. Now they have beautiful soccer fields. The kid's 4 feet tall. He wants to be a basketball player. We can't even get the kids to play. Forget about the parents.
No, absolutely. In fact, there used to be rock-strewn, glass-strewn fields with no grass because everyone's cleats before had dug it all up and they weren't going to re-turf it.
That was the case with the field behind Cardinal Hayes on the Grand Concourse and right across the street. There was very little grass on the field.
So we played on the Brooklyn Prep field, a very small field, right attached to the school on President Street off of Sterling and Nostrand. And before you would practice, we would walk the entire field picking up rocks
yes
and sticks
yes
and bottles and all
yes
other debris. But naturally, there were things that always got through that, and people would always end up getting cut or falling on rocks and getting injured as a result.
And one other thing, I understand the caller about coaches, but Coach Bill, he taught us at a very young age, no excuses in life and never, ever quitting.
1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Brett calling from Jersey City. Welcome to Dominic Carter and Curtis here at WABC. Brett?
Hey, how you doing? So this was so ironic that you're talking about football coaches. My coach, when I was in high school, for 20 years, he got called last month and said, you're fired because, and it came out that he ran kids too hard, he yelled at kids, and he cursed at kids. And he was one of the best football coaches I ever had. I joined the military after high school, and I mean with how he, you know, taught me and taught me to, you know, never give up. He got me, you know, basically survived Afghanistan and stuff. And he basically got fired, and after 20 years with not one incident, fired, and that was it.
Yeah, and because the standards that were common, Brett, when you were playing football, Dominic was, I was. For instance, we would report in August. The other kids hadn't even come back to school yet. There'd be two-a-day workouts in stifling heat, and the coach would say, okay, laps, laps. Now, the heavier guys, the linemen, oh, they suffered. But he would always say, here's salt tablets, here, keep swallowing salt tablets. And they had, remember, you didn't have bottles of water back then. You had a bucket with water. And sometimes you just want to put your whole face in
the
water.
And sometimes we did.
Exactly.
Or pour it on your head.
And suck it up. But it was great. Now, did occasionally kids pass out from that?
Yes.
And occasionally die from that because their hearts were not able to stand that? They didn't have the stamina for that? Yeah, but there's just a rush now. Just eliminate it all. Sort of like, we don't want to see any injuries.
Because now you could sit down with PlayStation 3 and create moves that are unhuman, you know, to do.
Let's go to Ricky, who's calling from the Bronx. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here at WABC. Rick?
Yeah, man. In the early 70s, I went to Clinton. There was like 300 kids, man, trying for the football team. Today, you're lucky if you get 20 kids to come down there.
You are correct.
And it was crazy. Everybody wanted to be the quarterback. Everybody
was in
Clinton back then. You remember, there was no girls there at that time.
That's right. It wasn't any females.
And the bottom line was, you know, with Clinton, when I was there, there was no Lehman, there was no Kennedy powerhouse. Remember, Kennedy turned into a powerhouse. We go over to...
Yeah, I knew that. Steve from Manhattan. I told Mr. Alabama here. I said, it's the same guy we called before. This guy, you see, he's dense. He can't remember because he's like Jeff Sessions and Judge Moore. He has short-term memory lag and long-term memory lag. It comes with being from Alabama.
But I'm glad you made it through this show because I was really worried about you earlier.
Oh, I was teetering. Oh, man. At the start of the show, I was like the Leaning Tower of Pizza. I could have actually passed out.
Can I tell the audience what you said to me?
Yes.
When you said to me, I'm about to throw up on you.
Yep.
And you were serious.
I was. Projectile vomiting. And notice, you went running for cover. 1-800-848-WABC. Dominic Carter in the house. Let's go to Jim from Paramus. Welcome to WABC, Jimmy.
Hey, how you doing, Curtis?
I've had better days.
Hey, yeah, me too. Yeah, I just wanted to say I'm one of those kids back in the day that I was injured as a kid. My hip got knocked out, and I got a 9-inch pin put in it out at St. Albans Naval Hospital in Queens. And I'm still doing fine today, and I got no regrets because I think those coaches taught everybody a lot.
Yeah.
You see?
I remember also from playing high school football that I passed a kidney stone. I was reminded of it the other day. In fact, two on separate occasions. You know, you get hit in your kidney. You're supposed to have those thigh pads on.
Yes,
I never wore the thigh pads because I felt it was too encumbering.
Mm.
And so I paid the price because when you pass a kidney stone, now you know how I feel every day. And I've felt that way for 2.5 years. But, you know, there are precautions. A lot of times, you know, the guys, they don't want to wear all the equipment that's necessary. So, you know, whether it's knee pads, whether it's thigh pads, whether it's shin pads, you know, all of a sudden they start shedding that because they realize they have more speed without it. But you end up paying a price.
Enjoy Thanksgiving.
Oh, you want to break a wishbone with me, huh?